Welcome everyone to our second week of chatting about our game chat about Finding Paradise, where we're finishing up the game and talking about the last half as well as the game as a whole. So I'll be the first to say, which I think I said this last week, I cried a lot the second part. There were quite a few tears cried on my part. Not as many as To the Moon, to say, but there were still a few. So the rest of you, so what were your general, you don't have to tell me if you cried or not, or how much you cried. Just, you know.
Just how much. General thoughts.
I cried a little bit, but definitely not To the Moon.
Right. Yeah, To the Moon was just like a waterfall for me. But, yeah.
See, To the Moon didn't have a huge, like, emotional impact for me.
Yeah.
When I was playing, or when I was finishing Finding Paradise, and they were, you know, kind of going back through his life and showing all that stuff, I was like, all right, this is fine. And then it cuts to, what's his face again? What's the patient's name again? I can't remember.
Colin.
Like, he's on the balcony, and then all of a sudden, Faye shows up, and then it was just like a torrential downpour in my house.
No.
Which was just really weird.
Broke a leak somewhere.
Yeah, it's like I couldn't find where it was coming from. It was just really strange.
That was about the only part I got, like, kind of, you know, misty. It wasn't downpour, you know, it was just, you know, that's touching. You know, somebody's dying, you know, okay, I got it. That's the thing about this movie, somebody's going to die, you know, it's like...
What were you saying, Madeline?
I'm sorry.
No, you're good. I didn't cry, but I teared up, not even then when Faye showed back up, but like right at the end, when it flashes back through when Faye is like done all of her whatever she did, and like his wife is kissing him on the forehead as he's dying while he's kissing his wife in his memory as she's sleeping in the bed. Like, I was like, you've done so good. You were right there. Hold on. We're so close.
Yeah. Hold on. You grasped your laptop. Hold on.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I agree with everything. I guess for me, it was that at least here's the way that I took, although it never really said this, but to me, like, I took Faye as, because it did show, like, he was writing things down in his room, like, almost like a story. And I don't think that it really meant this way, but I was like, it's almost like he was writing a story. Like, Faye was a character in his head that he created. And there was another game that covered that too. I don't remember what it was. Anyways, and this was a character that he, you know, that he created, whether it was to fill that void of his parents being gone or being alone. But to me, it was almost like I resonated with it because it was like writing characters in a story. And, you know, I was like, oh my gosh, like that's like, you know, that's, you know, they, you know, just her fight for survival, and then, you know, it was really sad, and I just found it sad that he had to create that almost to feel, to have some company, you know, as a kid, like, you know, and it kind of reminded me of my own childhood. I was that kid that liked to be alone. Like, I would go and just, I was okay with playing in my room by myself, like. And I had a very overactive imagination. And you know, and some makeup characters. And I was like, oh my gosh, like that, like, it, yeah, it just really resonated with me. And just that he kind of kept going with that throughout, you know, probably later than he should have, which I also kind of, you know, kind of, relate to, because, like, you know, I was still playing with Barbies until I was like 14 or 15, you know, like I was a late bloomer, and just like all of those things like culminated together, like whatever, they came together, and I was like, oh my gosh, like it just hit me. It hit me in several ways. And yeah, it was good. It was good. What did you guys think about how the characters, Stanton laughing at me? Yeah, it was good. It was good to feel hurt and crying. Yes. What did you guys think about how they tied up the story and how they brought everything together?
You mean like the outside world?
Or... However you want to interpret it.
I kind of felt like it was a interesting way how they, everything kind of ended in the end, because he ended up kind of, or Neil ended up kind of messing things up a little bit through his experimentation with the machines and everything, and they kind of brought all of these stuff together, and it kind of leaves a lot of questions as to what everything is going on. Because you kind of figure out that they had this in this was a little bit in the second episode, minisode, and then in this, where you find out that Faye is actually running around inside the real world version of the game, which is a little bit concerning, but I could touch on that a little bit more later.
Yeah.
Once the reveal hit, and, you know, you kind of, towards the end of the, you know, the first stopping point, I think Madeline also said it, that, you know, you kind of get a sense that we're heading for a surrealistic kind of segue here, because the timelines are converging, and you just don't forget, now that I say it, it sounds ironic, you just don't forget somebody like Faye overnight and marry somebody else like, you know, his wife. But I'm glad they did the scene on the, you know, on the hill, which is sort of like, you know, the locking in the confirmation of, you know, what she did for him all those years, you know.
Yeah.
She was, you know, and so I like that. I'm also wondering, I guess, did he tear out, you know, when I was thinking about it later, did he tear all the pages out of the logbook, and then did he rewrite them in Lemon? But you don't really get the night. I guess he showed them to the wife, afterwards. But I was just, maybe, you know, I guess he wrote exactly what was going on with Faye, but I was just curious, you know, he rewrote everything and, you know, in Lemon Juice in the logbook just to, I don't know. That was kind of a...
Yeah.
I was trying to figure out the real meaning behind that, if there was any. I doubt it.
Yeah. I think it might have been... I think it could have possibly been a retconning, essentially, through the memories inside from Faye, but I'm not really sure at this point anymore.
See, I kind of took that as that... he was using it as a way to tell the story, but almost I don't know if he was like embarrassed or wanted to like keep it a secret from everyone about who Faye was and what he was actually doing. You know, especially with you know, writing it in invisible ink and kind of making it so that no one knows what was actually in there. So yeah, it's like, and when the game ended, I'm like, so what was in the book? And then I'm thinking like, wait, no, it was, you know, his story of Faye. And like, I kind of feel like he was hiding it because he didn't want to let his wife know, or, you know, something like that.
So yeah, I struggle. Yeah, go ahead, Madeline.
You go ahead. You go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I was going to agree with Chris. I struggled with, you know, I guess you would be, he would be embarrassed, but he is on his, you know, at this point, you're all, you are on your deathbed. You know, this is, you know, it's like, is it that embarrassing to fess up on your deathbed? Hey,
true, but I mean, I kind of took it as this was something that he was doing as he was going about it.
Oh yeah, 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 yeah.
So it's not necessarily like he's on his deathbed, so it's like, let me hide all my secrets away from everyone and get rid of the evidence and do it this way so no one knows what I was actually doing.
Right.
I'm really surprised Neil didn't think about, like, elementary school spies writing secret messages with lemon juice.
Yeah.
Initially, when they found a book that was taped shut that was completely blank, because that was the first thing that came to my mind.
Yeah.
And I find myself thinking along more patterns similar to Neil than to Eva. But I think that the book had stuff written in it in real life, because when Neil and Eva got out, then they asked the son, you know, she said you had a lighter, can we try this with a book? And then it had stuff written on it, we just didn't get to see what it was.
Right.
And I think probably that this was, in my mind, what I told myself was that this was Colin telling the story of his life with his wife and his son to his wife, or whoever, to his family.
Yeah.
And also, in a way, telling it to Faye, because, you know, she said, you know, someday I'll come back and you can tell me all about your awesome life that you've had, since you're, you know, you're good enough to go on. You can grow up a little bit and I can leave you for now.
Yeah.
And there seemed to be, like, I understand that they were apprehensive and they felt like there's a lot of secrecy kind of associated with that. But who doesn't want to keep their journal private? I mean,
yeah.
I mean, it's not a blog. I don't know.
Right.
And I thought it was really interesting that Faye was such, I don't know, I guess part of, I had a different take on Faye being an imaginary friend that he had, like, was writing stories about. Because in my writing group, when we talked about characters becoming aware that they are characters in a story with an author, then they immediately, like, multiple different writers in my writing group explored this idea, and every single one of their characters tried to, like, sabotage the story and attack the author and mess up everything that the author was trying to do with the story, with the characters.
Yeah.
So I thought it was really, like, sweet that Faye didn't feel that way about Colin, but also, I mean, he started telling these stories to himself when he wasn't a 21-year-old.
Yeah.
And so, I don't know. That's probably why I approached that topic differently.
Yeah. So you approached it as you think that Faye was just a character in the story that was kind of sabotaging him, or?
No, like, in, for all of my previous experience with characters that know that they are characters in a story,
yeah,
would immediately sabotage the story and try and attack the author and do everything they could to have their own way versus
right.
obeying whatever right. the author wanted.
Yeah. Okay.
And I thought Faye, even though she knew she was, like, before Sigmund ever showed up, Faye knew that she was a character yeah. in a story.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
And she never tried to do any of that. It was mostly just she felt like Sigmund was encroaching on her territory.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, she was very protective of Colin.
It was funny when the battle starts. It's like at the first I was like kind of frustrated because you're getting your butt kicked and you're like, all right, why are we doing
oh,
this?
Oh yeah. yeah.
And then it was funny as you actually win one. It's like, oh, I got a chance. It's like
mm-hmm. yeah, yeah. That was very interesting. It reminded me a lot of Undertale,
right?
Just from like. I died three or four times before I just kind of realized, like, you're talking about fighting Faye, right? The battle against Faye?
Yes.
Yeah. And it took me a few times to realize, oh, like, the dogs attack you, but instead of, you know, and so, but once they attack you the first time, you can throw the shoe and the dog, you know, because I was like, why would I throw a shoe at her? Like, it does nothing.
It did, like, one point of damage, yeah.
Yeah, exactly, because I did it, and I think I did it too soon, like, before the dogs came, you know, and so I was like, why is this here? Like,
all right, can we just talk about the dogs for a second here?
Yes!
This is your moment of glory, Chris.
It's like, so, when I was playing it, I'm like... All yeah. the dogs came, and I'm like, what is going on? And then, like, I got down to pretty low health. And then, I ran out of, like, magic power, so I just threw the shoe. And then the dog comes back. Not only does the dog fight and everything, the dog has a laser nose.
Yes, he does.
Which is, the dog can heal you. You compliment like, the dog.
That's the best thing, too. Is that the dog will compliment you and heal you, which is like even better.
That's like how it works in real life.
Yeah, exactly.
I like that that you can question the dog's existence though.
Yeah,
I made that mistake.
And he goes away.
Yeah,
I did the first thing that I did, and he was gone.
That was my first. From that was like one of my. Few deaths. I think the other time I died with like airplane stuff or like actual like fleet race. Yeah, but
right.
Oh, but I ended up killing her with the shoe.
Really?
That was great. That was your last hit. Too.
Yeah, I had one hit point left on her, so I threw a shoe at her.
There you go. There you go. You did it. You did it. And the best cup of coffee. Anyways. That battle was really cool. That battle was interesting. Because at first I was like, I don't guess we're supposed to beat her. Until I just so happened to throw the shoe and the dog came out. And I was like, oh, okay. This is how you do it.
Yeah. The most frustrating one was the Street Fighter battle.
Oh,
that one was super finicky like it makes sense to some extent, but it was difficult to actually get it right.
I like this. Yeah.
To properly do, you'd have to have a lot of timing and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. I liked those throwbacks to kind of, or just kind of like, you know, just it played off of Neil's, you know, because you know that he likes video games and he likes nerdy stuff. And it really played off of that. And I really enjoyed that. I was like, oh my gosh.
Including the versus screen, you know?
Yes.
Neil versus.
Yes.
What was it? The Rue Dog Was it Rudong?
Yeah, it was Rudong.
He's supposed to be the a Kupo from So I was like, oh my goodness, because I've been playing Final Fantasy.
So did you guys think that? Because even though I enjoyed the conclusion to the story, I kind of felt that the whole Faye thing was a little, was maybe pushed a little too far with like her, like how she was like attacking them at first. And it seemed very, like, I think compared to the first game, it seemed even more out there and outrageous. I think we kind of brought that up briefly last week too, when, because of the whole like pulling Jupiter and, or, you know, attaching to it, even though it's inside of the head of this patient, like it still seems kind of like, oh, that's a little far-fetched. Did you guys feel any of that when you were playing the second part?
The Fae thing did get, I mean, we could have probably cut that by a third, the Fae battles, you know. You know, maybe getting your butt kicked. Well, you know, it's just a little tinge drawn out. That's about, you know. But it's a little, I'm going to say it was, you know, the story was, you know, a little tropey, but, you know, with the, you know, the imaginary friend. But, you know, with the ending kind of was, you know, with Faye showing up on the balcony in his final moments, I'm just hoping that, you know, it's funny. The ones who really got to see that was us. You know, Neil and Eva didn't get a chance to see how that turned out.
Yeah.
So, but that kind of, you know, saved the day, so to speak, for the I think. Which is rather good.
Yeah, I was a little... Sorry, I'm plugging something in, but if the mic's a little weird. I was actually a little... I don't sound horrible. I was a little disappointed that, like, there wasn't more at stake when Eva was suddenly missing. You know,
when she's like, oh, I unplugged. And I was like, really?
Yeah.
I am dying in here.
I know.
And
I
you
know,
are just that's... out. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Like, well, and I kind of like, but then again, I think this is the whole, like, damn, I can't plug in my phone worth the life of me. Tech problems abound. And I don't know. I think it's the whole shipping thing that I shipped Eva and Neil, and so I'm just like, you know, I'm like wishing that he was like more worried, and I'm like, well, he has to go and save her, like he has to go and rescue her, but like, you know, and he's interested in saving her, but it's just kind of like, where's Eva, you know? And then like, it just seems like she disappears, you know, because of course she was never in any danger, she was just unplugged, and
he seems to be pretty frantic about looking for her, though.
Yeah, that's really great.
I didn't sense it. It wasn't desperate enough.
How desperate can you make pixels?
Well, no, he said, I mean, everything you clicked on, he says, no, we can't do that right now. We have to look for her.
Oh, that's just prioritizing.
Yeah, okay. But I felt like that he was... Because I was like, well, I don't know what else to do right now, Neil. You clearly have an idea about what else needs to be done right now. You could just say that instead of, like, everything I'm trying. You'd be like, no, we need to do something else. How about you tell me what you think needs to be done?
Give me some details, Neil. We're crying out loud. So speaking of Neil... So the ending. So you, everyone stayed until after the credits, right?
Yes.
Yep.
Was it after the credits?
I can't remember exactly.
You did?
No, I did. I just can't remember exactly how everything played out, but there were definitely a lot of unanswered questions, at least in my head.
Yeah. You get to the end of the credits, and they're looking, because he, when they, I don't know if it was in the game before they left, or before they went and did that final memory thing or whatever, and got the final sequence. He did the save state. It doesn't really matter when, but he did a backup copy of, I guess, all of all of Colm's mind, or just Faye herself. And then
yes.
And that's why. And then they're examining her on his computer and are thinking about using her to do their job for them. Essentially,
he hooked up to it, right? Like, didn't it end with him hooking up to the machine?
Well, I don't think he's hooked up to it. I just think they're at his computer in his
office.
He's about ready to hook up that computer.
It's all set up. It's all set up there. It would appear that it would be ready for someone to interface with it.
But I can't tell if overall that they're dead or they're doing something with it, because in Miniso 2, it's...
did you say they're dead?
They're either dying... Well, not dead, but not sure if they're dying, both Neil and Eva, or he's just doing an experiment test on her, because in Miniso 2, they flash to her alone in a room hooked up to the machine. During the Miniso, she ends up seeing... duplicate of her walk across the street.
But there's still something that he's hiding from her. He's not coming out and telling her about all this.
Right.
I mean, she might know some kind of aspect, but he's still hiding it from her.
And then in Neil is going to the car during the game, the person on the bike bike is Faye.
Well, how do you know?
It was a woman in a brown sleeveless top.
Well, and
that is all you know.
And Faye,
I mean, that's what Faye wore.
Faye also rescued the teddy bear from the pond.
Yeah, and might have been Potato.
And it never explained why he's taking the pills. Still, second game down. We still don't know why he's taking the pills. Not answered. It hasn't been answered. We can hypothesize.
So, I give a lot of medication. People take pills for all sorts of reasons. But I feel like in stories, it is always conveniently related to
exactly.
the story.
Well, and there, and it's always like he experiences the, it's like a red, like it flashes red. And then he, like, in the second one, in Finding Paradise, it flashed red, and he was like, oh, I need to go and get my pills, or I forgot my pill.
You know, and why know when that happens in the actual memories, though? When the patient's dying, which is one of the reasons
why
I think we might be playing a hooked-up simulation.
I was just going to say, oh, geez, don't tell me this whole series...
We don't know.
Has been Neil hooked up?
If this is the case, I am asking for a refund on every single one of these games.
Yeah, because the only
explanation for Faye showing up in the parking lot, which is supposed to be real world, right, is that Neil's hooked up at the time.
You know, the only...
So she's like the wife on Inception, and she just jumps in everybody's heads and sabotages everything.
I kind of wouldn't mind this, guys. I kind of wouldn't mind it, because to me, a story that is very, very complex, and I dig arcing complexity.
I think we should write a letter to the developer and say, Arcane... is this the case?
Arcane complexity is one thing, but like waking up and it was all a dream is the oldest stereotype.
I don't think that
and the thing that they is discouraged in every like beginning writing class for a reason. Yes. Like,
oh, I'm sorry.
It makes the reader or the player or whoever that's participating as your audience feel like that they have like they wanted to invest in something that means something. And even if this is all like Neil getting his final power wish to make differences in other people's lives, I'm still gonna feel like I would rather him actually make differences in other people's lives. And if it turns out that that's going to be the case and the, like whatever the final episode is of this series, I'm going to let y'all find that out and tell me. And then I just won't play it because in my reality, Neil will have actually made differences in people's lives.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's the only, I mean, that I cannot wrap my head around, you know, Faye existing outside the machine. I mean, that's just the hardcore scientist or realist in me. It's like, that's impossible.
Or it could be all like...
she's not outside of the machine.
Or it could be all Tron Legacy there, and she actually becomes human.
There you go. I was also thinking that this is Neil's special fancy version of the machine, and it was doing weird things with like the trees and the lockers, which you could argue was like... Collins memories or whatever.
But that's in a bird story too.
But you could argue that Faye, her how she showed up is based on an actual person that Neil is familiar with.
Yeah.
Because he designed the machine and it doesn't have the rest of these like extra whatevers that he took off of it.
Yeah. And... We don't know.
Alright. Plus, I made a note when I was going to. I'm going to do it anyway. A bad pun. They should have named her Fig.
Like
last name Mint. I knew that would get a groan.
I'm just not saying anything. I'm just going to sit here.
Can we expel Frank from Game Channel?
Oh, come on.
Oh, poor
first Frank. Bad pun of the 2018 season.
I've done worse, so he's fine.
I can mute him on my end, but it'll only mute him from me.
Frank, yeah, you can prevent the general public from exposure to such a horrendous act of puttering.
People that if anyone ever listens in, they're just like, you know, there was a guy named Frank, and I don't hear him anymore. Well, we kind of forgot to take the mute button off.
People
sorry.
Keep talking to replying to silence.
Oh my god!
That'd be great. Just
Frank,
like a one-
Frank is our imaginary friend.
Just a one-sided conversation for the whole show.
Our entire game chat is just us writing down in the book talking to an imaginary friend.
Oh no. Oh my goodness. Is there any other points you guys want to bring up that caught your attention or made you think?
I kind of want to know if there's anything else behind the hibiscus besides it being a hibiscus and them planting it everywhere.
What does the flowers mean things?
I didn't even.
Hibiscus flower meaning.
Yeah,
okay, let me try. Maybe flower. Japanese flower. Maybe hibiscus flower.
Youth, fame, and beauty are
H-I-B-I-S.
Giving a hibiscus meant that the giver was acknowledging the receiver's delicate beauty. That was in Victorian times.
Sorry.
In China, hibiscuses symbolize the fleeting in beauty of fame or personal glory.
Hibiscus only bloom for a day. And then they close up.
And they're delicious.
And I enjoy some hibiscus tea.
I don't understand how any of that goes with the game. That's interesting.
At the end, whenever he said goodbye to Faye, well, I guess like the almost end, whenever he said goodbye to Faye and then the tree like suddenly didn't have any leaves anymore, the hibiscus that had been right next to where they were sitting also wasn't a hibiscus anymore. It was like two or three other smaller wildflowers.
So I don't know what Faye.
Somehow.
Yeah.
Specifically.
Symbolizing the fading beauty of fame, personal glory is given.
Now, in North America, the hibiscus means a perfect wife or woman.
Ooh.
Oh,
that can kind of link
mean,
in.
That could mean some. That could put a little bit of a spin to things.
Yeah.
Which is why I think it's probably one of the things.
Well, that would make sense because Faye would have been like the perfect woman for Colin.
There's a story, I'm trying to think of what it is. There's a story about a dude that didn't like women and made like the perfect woman statue basically in his basement.
Oh,
it's an ancient Greek myth. Hang on. I'm sorry, I'm trying to look it up.
It's okay.
Oh, I'm kind of like tempted to name a girl Potato.
Pygmalion, I think.
Oh,
the wax woman, the wax museum movie or whatever it is.
What?
Or House to Wax.
Pygmalion, I think, is what this.
But.
Yes.
Pygmalion.
Yep. As the man, the story who. I'll post a link to my favorite version.
Okay. It's like how the. Anyway. That the girl was named Potato, and that she had a brother whose name was Spud.
Yes.
And the mom was like, why would they name two kids Potato? That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's Spud.
Yeah. He just really liked potatoes.
What was the older sister's name?
I'm not sure if she was an older sister, if she was just
I think she was just a girl. I don't think that she was a sister. Nice. Anything else you guys want to talk about?
Think. No, you can go first.
The ending scene, you know, the emotional, the high points or low, whatever. The point I phrase it. You know, when he comes in from the balcony, and then what really sort of got, you know, was like at the very end when the screen S notes were played on cello, just this old cello by itself. I was like, oh man, that was a brilliant touch.
Oh.
I thought I had the
moment. Yes.
Beautiful.
Yes. I completely agree.
The music, yeah, obviously, I mean, to start to get into that, the music was obviously tremendous.
Yes.
Yeah,
The same with To the Moon. To the Moon had excellent score as well.
Yeah. This game definitely went a lot higher in the music. I think
this
game has, the OST has 57 songs compared to the 32 of To the Moon.
Yeah.
Even has a unused song, so.
Nice.
And you have the girl that was singing in Raccoon as well.
Because she's the one that did the music, right? For To the Moon.
Yeah.
Well, that, and she pretty much did all of Raccoon by herself.
Wow.
Yes.
That's right, yeah. Yep. But it just speaks to how sometimes less is simple. I mean, it was just, I don't think it ever got beyond two instruments. I mean.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the whole game, I mean, the whole like idea of these games contributes to less is more.
Yeah.
To the Moon, it was one of the most, probably one of the most emotional games I have ever played. Like, it really hit me. And, it definitely, the whole idea of these, like, these RPG maker games, or, you know, you would never think, but deftly handled with the people that are creating them, you know, that's created this one, you know, Into the Moon and Rakuen. It's amazing what they can do and the stories that they can tell just with, you know, sprites.
Yeah. Well, it's a great way to animate a story.
Is Rakuen another game that you guys played? Or
yes.
Is
it... Yes. Okay. It was before you joined us, Kevin. So that's another one that you need to.
You can go and listen to basically all of the.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All the past chats and see the games that have been done.
Yeah.
Mm. Riku and I cried buckets.
Yeah.
Ooh, it has a bird guy. Thing.
As a what?
A Leeble, I think you mean?
Oh, yeah.
It's a big, fuzzy, gray guy with a mask that looks like an owl.
Yeah.
You mean Morizora?
I don't know, I'm just looking
at screen. That's it. Yeah. That has to be it. He looks like an owl.
He looks like Totoro?
Yeah.
Yes. That's Mars.
Trying to think of anything else.
No, I think we, you know, I'd give it, you know, I've been vacillating back and forth all day. I finished it this morning, and I'm like, all day sitting here, it's like, where do I go with this?
Like, for your final thoughts and
score? Yeah, I'm just...
Yeah, Franco, why don't you go ahead and start us off with that?
Yeah, I was going to say...
Thank you.
The only minus that I can give this game, just because I, you know, you have to... back to my original... That's on my t-shirt for this group. There is no such thing as a perfect game. Right. you know, it's just not really a game. It's, you know, it's a story, you know. But it's a great story, and I can't find any flaws with it otherwise, you know. So, 9.25. 9.25.
9.25.
It's going to make Steph work.
Right. You're just trying to test my math skills, but you know I'm just going to just round. You know, I mean, this is going to be like, that's close enough.
Do like a spreadsheet. Oh, that would be work too, I guess.
That would be... I don't
remember what the shortcuts are.
Spreadsheets with the most inglorious passion ever.
JK, so sorry. We want your spreadsheet, my bad.
Excel is the devil. Anyways, moving on.
Sorry.
You're okay. Dark side. All right. All right. Some people really love them. Like, some people really love spreadsheets. I'm just like, I look at them and like my mind just like fogs over. It's like, oh, nope. All right. Next one. I can't see. So Madeline, why don't you go next?
All right. I feel like this game, we got to see more of kind of the B story, I guess, so more about what's going on with Sigmund, and more a little bit more into Neil and Eva than we did in To the Moon.
Mm-hmm.
And I liked that, but I feel like that our A story was a little bit undramatic almost, because the memory bits were shorter. And so I felt a little bit whiplashed jumping around, which I understand that's kind of how they built the story, but I didn't super enjoy that. And then I almost felt like that when we found out that she was an imaginary friend, it was almost like anticlimactic, especially like everything that all the stuff that To the Moon built up, like,
right,
basically the capabilities of memory change that that Sigmund can do in a person, and they were just like, well, we'll just fail and like one thing will be different, and that'll be it. It'll be like a 10-second blip in his life, that's all that's different. And I know that that's like fulfilling his wish of the contract, but I felt like that was kind of anticlimactic and not as solid a follow-up as we got an original. So I'm gonna give it, but I still enjoyed it. I feel like that the puzzles were, I enjoyed the puzzle a little bit more in the second one than I did the first one. And I felt like that they had made efforts to update, I guess, their game with like the change puzzles, and the, we talked about the music as well. So I'm gonna, I would give it an 8.
An 8?
Mm-hmm.
Great. Kevin?
With like all the improved controls and other aspects, like the puzzles, which took a little bit getting used to, I kind of started to like them later on. Some of them were pretty frustrating, but more developing some of the story with Eva and Neil and everything. But it kind of didn't work as the memories of Colin and stuff were just seemed a little bit as not as well developed as they could have been, and they were shorter. Like the whole proposal thing was just one thing, and you'd think there would be a little bit more to that than just the spelling mistake. But, like Madeline, I'd have to give it an 8.
Okay. Right. Stanton?
Yeah, I agree mostly with Madeline and Kevin. But I do kind of like what they did with this, where it was kind of, basically, the guy had no real regrets and just kind of wanted to live his life again. But on the other hand, too, is that, which was kind of an interesting aspect, because it felt like he didn't want to really admit to himself that Faye was a big part of his life, or that he was kind of disappointed that he didn't have time for Faye to come back for him to tell her about how his life had gone after she had left. And I think I kind of lean more towards that one, where like that was just really his only one regret in life, that he didn't have that one last encounter with Faye, and that that's either subconsciously or just kind of not really wanting to admit it to himself. That's why he went to Sigmund to, so that he could get that one last chance there. And I think, you know, looking at that is, you know, kind of makes the story a little bit more worth it. And, you know, to me, gives it a little bit more, I don't know if you want to say weight, but more of like a meaning behind his motivations and everything like that. Overall, I was going to give it an 8, but because you had the dog in there, that not only had a laser shooting from its nose, but also healed you by giving you encouragement.
Yes.
I'm going to have to give it an extra half a point, so 8.5 for me.
Okay, all right, all right. Makes sense, makes sense. Yeah, yeah. I mean, as usual, I agree with what most of you guys have said. Yeah, I mean, it didn't quite have, I mean, even though it did have an impact on me that I explained earlier, it didn't hit me quite as much and didn't captivate me as much, I guess, as To the Moon did. But I'm not sure if that's because To the Moon was, you know, kind of like my first experience with, you know, a sprite game that was as that, you know, that emotional, or if it was, you know, I'm thinking it, I might have just liked this story better. And, but I still appreciate this one, and I still really like this one, The Finding Paradise. I mean, again, I agree with everything you guys said. The music was really good. You know, even though I thought the writing kind of went off track a few times, I liked the conclusion. And I kind of like the open-endedness too, even though it drives me crazy. But I like how they kind of, you know, even though the games are about the patients, which I kind of like to think that, you know, Melon, you, or one of you mentioned, you know, that this game felt a little more focused on the doctors and the patients. You know, it didn't feel as impactful. I kind of wonder if maybe that's intentional, like maybe. Because I could kind of see a third game being like mostly about Sigmund and mostly about the doctors than about another bringing another person in to explore their memories, like more focused on the doctors. If that's the case, that's ingenious. Yeah, it did feel a little bit more focused on the doctors for the second one than on the patients. But hopefully that's intentional, and hopefully they bring that. They make that a reality sooner than, how long has it been? It's like 5-6 years since To the Moon. It's been a while. Too long. So I would say that I would give it an 8.5, I think. Yeah, we're gonna go for an 8.5. Yeah, I feel confident in that. All right. Well, yeah, that was great. That was great. Okay, so our next game is Tacoma, as I announced in the group. I know Madeline's played Tacoma. Mm-hmm. Did you beat Tacoma when you reviewed it, Madeline?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Yeah. So I played through it actually, and like in the past few days, and we're going to kind of go about it a different way because, like, there's not. I mean, there are. I guess. Maybe like 2 stopping points, like when you go into different areas. But for the most part, I mean, you can kind of go different places, and it's kind of hard to judge time limits and where you should stop and where you shouldn't stop. So what we're going to do actually is I'm going to give you guys 2 weeks to play this game. So we're not going to meet next week, but we're going to meet on the 30th. So Tuesday, January the 30th will be our next game chat. I'm going to give everyone 2 weeks to play it. And so that way, like, it's about, I played it. I know that, like, I looked up, like, how long to beat Tacoma, and it was like 2 to 3 hours. It depends on how you play. If you shoot through it, yes, you might get through it in like 2.5 hours. This is a type of game that you can pick up like everything and look at it, mm-hmm. which is exactly what I do. I'm like, oh, a wrapper on the floor. Let's look at it. Oh, it's a soy power bar. Mm-hmm. You know,
there are like 400 of those on the station.
Yes. And I picked up probably about 150 and looked at them.
Is there an achievement for gliding them all? Is this the speck of dust?
There are a few achievements, yes. There's a few things like you collect certain things and put them back where they're supposed to be and you get an achievement. Yeah, there are a few achievements to get. I did get an achievement at the end of the game for getting achievements.
So. Okay. Is it like the participation trophy?
Probably. Yeah, so
here's your gold star.
So for me doing that, playing that way, it took me about 5.5 hours, probably.
According to Steam, I spent 2 hours, and I like rewatched a lot of conversations. So I felt like I played it, that took a long time, but apparently it didn't.
Yeah, so it all depends on your play style. It all depends on whatever. So yeah, but I'll go ahead and stick with the 2 weeks. So we'll meet again on the 30th, and we'll talk about Tacoma as a whole.
Sounds like a plan.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, I've enjoyed it so far. I really loved the ending. Take that for what you will. Yeah, so you guys enjoy. I'll post that in Facebook as well, because I think that I had posted earlier that we would start next week. So I'll post an update saying, you know, that we'll be discussing on the 30th and then moving on probably to Before the Storm, I would say, after that. Since it will kind of, I mean, we're about 2 weeks after. I think probably like this week is when we started game chat 2 years ago. And our first game was Life is Strange. So I kind of wanted to play it a little bit close to our anniversary date. Can we have a pizza party? Well, it's kind of hard.
Since we can all eat pizza or say we're eating pizza.
Yeah,
we can
all, yeah, exactly. Exactly.
And not smack into our...
Yeah, so the
into our headphones.
The 12th of January was our first meeting.
Man, so we're a little bit past it, but yeah. Yeah.
Happy birthday, Game Chat.
Are we going to be playing the definitive edition or the ultimate edition that has extra bonus chapter at the end, or
you can't buy just the bonus chapter by itself, right?
So I think you can upgrade to the ultimate edition.
We're just gonna go with the definitive edition.
All right, so the one with the extra episode.
Yeah. Is that the one with the extra episode definitive?
Yeah.
The ultimate?
Let me see. Let me check here.
I think there's only two editions.
Deluxe edition.
Yeah.
Yes.
So the deluxe edition is the one with the extra episode. The extra episode's not out yet?
No.
It should be out by the time we start to record, like finish recording it. So
let's let me think about it.
There is an upgrade for the deluxe edition if you bought the standard.
So we can start with the standard and upgrade if we desire at the some point during the playthrough.
I'll think about it, look and see. Okay. Most likely I'll go with the definitive edition, since I know that's what I have. I know you have that.
Yep.
It's an extra episode. I feel like we would be doing the game a disservice by
I feel like we owe it to Max Caulfield to play that episode.
I agree. We're going to do definitive then. So definitive it is. You guys convinced me.
They said it's sometime early this year, so hopefully soon.
Yeah, I thought they said January, so...
We'll see. I mean, it'll be beginning of February by the time that we get to it, first episode again, so... because it will be like end of February by the time we would get to a fourth episode. So
it sounds like it'll probably have a really in the feels moment though.
It's
supposed to be about Max and Chloe.
I haven't played past the first episode. Farewell. But the first episode, was one of the best. I'm gonna go with one of the best episodes of a game I've played, but that's just me. So that's exciting.
I was watching a person play it. I don't know how at what speed that they were playing it. So I ended up seeing the...
You ended up seeing the ending?
Yeah, I saw the ending. I'm not going to say anything, but she said... And then by the time she was done, I think it was maybe 9 o'clock her time.
Yeah.
So it's a decently long game.
Okay. Yeah, so
I
played through everything. Let me see. According to Steam, it took me 9 hours to play all 3 episodes.
Yeah, I believe it. The last time they got to about, like, I think the first episode was like 2 hours. Yeah. They're like, yeah, this is doable. And then, like, I think, like, as they continued on, they got to like 3 hours each episode. And we're like, oh wow, okay, well, we'll go ahead and wrap up. Thanks everyone, it was great talking about Finding Paradise with you guys, and I look forward to talking about Tacoma in 2 weeks. So enjoy your Tuesday off next week. Go skydiving or make up an imaginary friend, or you know,
have some pizza.
Yeah, or get some pizza and have an acid reflux attack. Sure.
write letters in lemon juice.
Yes.
Yeah, or write some letters in some lemon juice. Yeah, there you go. Okay, well, you guys have a great week, and thanks again.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye.